Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to episode 5 of Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Tracy Epps.
I'm Amy Masson.
I'm so excited to have our guest today, Bethany Siegler, because we go way, way back in our WordPress careers. Bethany is the owner of Unique Think Online Marketing and Web Design. She specializes in helping low-tech folks get comfortable with their WordPress websites. Welcome to the show, Bethany.
Thank you.
We start each episode with asking about people's journey into WordPress. And I know that you came from an interesting and unique background, and we'd love to hear how you discovered WordPress.
Sure. So my background is in entertainment marketing. I worked with major label artists, and in the mid-90s, and though I loved, you know, saying that I worked with Bonnie Raitt and all of these major label artists, I felt like I needed to help the smaller guys. And so I went to work for an independent record label. And that was a fantastic opportunity. But I was, let's say, for lack of a better word, frustrated with what we called the webmasters back then. So I wanted to learn how to manipulate the website or to change the website, because I am a marketer first and foremost. And as a marketer, I always want to be changing things on the website, and I want to be running these great promotions. And I found that it was a lot easier to go to the fan sites. We were working with cult artists who had a very strong fan base, and the fans, they were able to manipulate their websites a lot quicker than we were. Our website, our webmaster, as we called them back then, if we asked them to make any changes, it took 6 months. If we wanted to run a promotion, it took 6 months. Or if we wanted to change a comma, it took 6 months.
Wow.
And I was, yeah. And I was really frustrated, because I would come up with these great ideas, and we created this magnetic poetry kit for one of our artists. And I thought, oh, this will be great. Let's do a virtual magnetic poetry kit contest. And so we put that, we said, let's put that online. And it took us forever to get that to fruition. Now, I understand now that the technology was a lot more difficult back then. And even doing a magnetic poetry kit today and having people submit using the words and dragging and dropping would probably take quite a while to create. But again, even making a minor change would always be really difficult. So I decided I was going to teach myself a little bit about creating websites. And that took me first through Frontpage and then to Dreamweaver. And at this point, I had left the record label, and I was on my own journey of creating what would become Unique Think, though it wasn't called that yet. And while I was doing that, Dreamweaver came out with a tool called Contribute. And Contribute, I don't know if you guys remember that tool, but it would allow you to assign segments of the web page to allow the client to get in there and make adjustments without knowing code. And I thought, oh, Contribute is definitely the solution. I'm 100% behind this. And then I had the opportunity to work with a New York Times bestselling author in about 2005. And his site had been built by an agency who built it in HTML, but they added a WordPress blog and made the site look like the blog. And they said, you know, if you want to run the blog, that would be great. And I was like, great, fantastic. I've been wanting to get into this whole blogging thing. 2005, it was still, you know, relatively new to me as a marketer. And I went in the back end and I saw pages, and I saw that you could create a page, but they hadn't done that. Like I said, they had built the site with HTML and they had built the blog portion with WordPress. And that was when I got on the phone with the web designer. he told me it was because Pages had just come out. And so he didn't even know that you could build a full site with WordPress. And he was now as excited as I was. And so I saw it as a really powerful marketing tool. And so that's where I went with it. And I thought, all right, this is great. Now I can build sites for my clients, hand it off to them, and have them maintain it themselves. And I just started digging into it and trying to understand it. But I was a non-tech person. Again, I am a marketing dork, not a geek or a nerd. I didn't feel comfortable with technology. And it took me from that time in 2005, which was about May, till 2007 to actually start building sites in WordPress. I was in WordPress.org. I was using WordPress.com. I built I started a bunch of blogs, but I hadn't really looked at installing WordPress. I was using a small hosting company at the time, and to get WordPress on it took their assistance, and it was a big struggle. And from there, I was fortunate enough to, I took a CSS class with this person at this local organization called Boulder Digital Arts. And he talked about his WordPress class. And I said, oh my God, I didn't know anybody was teaching WordPress. Let me take your class. And that helped to shift me a little more. And I met Angela that I felt like my business really started to shift because we were able to share information and teach each other what we were learning. And so it was really helpful.
I just remember as you were talking about the learning how WordPress worked, I do have a distinct memory of you and I sitting at this cafe, Cafe Soleil, and I'm like opening up the header.php and I'm like, Bethany, there's this like thing, I think it's called, it was like, I forget the function back then, but it was like WP menu or WP page list or something. And that I'm like, we can put in the parentheses the pages that we want to show or exclude or include. And you had to know the ID numbers, I think. And it was just like, wow, like we can control what pages show up in the menu.
This is the future.
But it was before menus existed, you know, it was like you really had to do it in the header file. And we're both like looking at it like, yeah, that's where you do it.
I remember even just the fact that, oh, there was one place where I could put the pages. Even if I hard coded them in, I only had to change one file when I added something or I changed a page title or something. I was like, this is amazing.
It was like the Renaissance.
It was like the Renaissance.
I remember before I met Angela trying to figure anything out because I didn't have the language. I didn't have the words, the terminology. I spent months trying to figure out how to change what I was calling either the banner or the logo at the top of the page, not knowing that in WordPress it was considered the header. And it took forever to just understand something like that and to try to find the language. So having somebody that you could then bounce it off and hear the terms that they were using, that really helped as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things that like I noticed, because yeah, like most of my development seems to be a lot of copying and pasting into Google. But if you don't know what it's called,
yes,
it's not super helpful. And I agree, because even like the tech, you know, like you said, like these documentation, or if you don't know where to connect to, where do you start?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when I teach my class, I teach to the non-tech folks. I teach to the business owners who are really intimidated by technology, how to run their site after it's been built by somebody else. And I started with a glossary of terms because I know that was my biggest struggle.
That's really smart. Yeah.
Well, Bethany and I had a unique beginning, which we met through an all women's designers group. And I mentioned that in our very first episode, I think. And it was just kind of amazing at that time, because it was just like 2008 or late 2007. And just finding another person who used WordPress was like, wow, you know about this and you use it and you're building sites with it. And I had maybe built like two or three sites at that point. And Bethany had been certainly more familiar with the whole evolution of WordPress than I was. But it was huge. And so, and we've talked about that a little bit in this podcast, like the networking that women do as being so valuable. And I just wanted to offer, you know, to ask you about that as well, because you've had an opportunity to network with a lot more than just me, but you know, we have a pretty good community.
Yeah. And the organization that Angela was referencing, the Boulder Designers Group, when I first heard about it, I still didn't consider myself a designer. So I emailed them and I said, I heard you were starting this group and, you know, I'm a marketer, but I do this thing called WordPress. And they were like, I don't know what WordPress is, but yeah, come on, come and talk to us. And so when Angela showed up and she said she was doing WordPress too, it was like, oh my God, somebody I could talk to about this. This is great. And it became so much more than that. We ended up partnering on projects, but all, more importantly, whenever there was a situation, whether it was with a client or with technology or with a hacker, our first hacking experience was a treat. It was a holiday weekend and also my birthday. It was Labor Day weekend. And one of my sites got hacked, and we had no idea that any of this could happen back then. You know, it was 2008 or so, right? Maybe 2009.
Was that the TimThem hack?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
That weekend. So, yeah. I mean, that was like in the fall. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And so we got on the phone with each other and started talking about it. And, you know, she said, I got to pull up my sites. And she started going through her sites. And I was like, oh, I guess I should go through the rest of my sites. And what it was a site that was in development. So, you know, obviously nobody would find it.
So how could it possibly get hacked? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you guys kind of created your own WordPress community before the WordPress community was really even a thing.
Yeah. And it wasn't till sometime in 2009 that I ever heard of WordCamp. And by the time I had heard of it, it was already sold out. And I was so sad. And I called Angela and I said, did you ever hear this thing? You know, there's this whole community of people that do this thing called WordCamp. It wasn't until 2010 when I found out about it in 2009, I said, I want to speak at 2010's WordCamp. I saw that it was being advertised and I didn't want to do it alone. So I called Angela and I asked her if she would do it with me. And she wasn't ready at that point for reason, which is
funny. So no way I was going to do this speaking in public. And like, I know not, you know, it was, and Bethany really, really tried to talk me into it. And I was dead set against it. But then I had three of my friends that year spoke. I was like the only one who didn't.
So I proposed a panel with another friend of ours, and it was fantastic to be out there in the community and to learn about what everybody else was doing. In the meantime, Angela and I were convincing everybody and anybody that would listen to us that they needed to be building in WordPress. And there was a point in our, at the beginning where we would walk into coffee shops and we would be the only person talking about WordPress. And then eventually we got to the point where we would hear somebody else talking about it. So Angela walked into a coffee shop one day and she heard somebody talking to their client about WordPress. And she walked up to them and said, hi, I just want to meet you. I'm doing WordPress too. We should talk. And that ended up being a good friend of ours. And we converted so many people who weren't comfortable with WordPress. The women who started the Boulder Designers Group that introduced us originally, they had no interest in WordPress. One of them said to us, I'm building an HTML and I know how to build an HTML. Why would I ever want to start using something that I've never heard of? And I said, because the clients are going to start asking for it. And so she...
You were very omniscient.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Well, it just seemed like the right tool. You know, as a marketing person, I want to change things quickly. And it was, it had everything I needed in it.
And did you at any point dabble in any other CMS before you kind of landed on WordPress?
I had some people who came to me who were using Joomla, who were using another proprietary tool that I'm not even going to mention, that I had to work with because the clients were using it already. And I found them all frustrating. And then I tried Squarespace because somebody came to me and was using that. And I was so limited to figure out how to do things that at the time Squarespace was just not capable of doing. And I said to a client, I just spent 9 hours trying to figure out if I could do this one thing. I really don't want to keep building your site in Squarespace. I know it was started there. It's going to be so much quicker. I could have been done already over in WordPress with what we're trying to accomplish. And so I was convincing people that they needed to be using it. And I was one of those people, along with Angela, who was telling everybody, you have to use WordPress because it's so simple, which now kind of bites us because WordPress has gotten more complex over the years.
Well, that's my favorite tagline, is to say WordPress is easy to use, but it's not easy to build.
Exactly.
That's very true. I mean, and even like I found the same thing because when I started doing client work, I was teaching myself, I did HTML, CSS, when CSS came around, right? But it was HTML and tables and that stuff. But yeah, like everyone wants to have the power, like what good is a tool, an online tool, if you can't actually use it? And the users are not, the end users are not developers. Most of the time, it's like you said, marketers. And when I found, I was like, WordPress was the one platform that was the easiest for my clients to understand. But also the fact that there was such a community, I could say, take a look and find a WordCamp in your area or find a WordPress meetup and ask people. And even just like the whole proprietary thing is like, well, now if I, you know, get hit by a bus tomorrow and I'm using all of that, like now they're stuck and they need to find someone else that does the exact same thing. I was like, the WordPress community is so vast. You can find so many people to take over after me and that's okay. And I want that because that's a better experience. Like that's what it's really drew me to WordPress as well.
Yeah. And I also dabbled in Joomla on my path to WordPress. And the reason I ended up sticking with WordPress, and this is before I knew about the WordPress community, was because it was so easy. My clients could log in and add their blog posts and change their page content or add a new page. And it was easy. And they could not figure out Joomla. They were very confused by it. And so
I was confused by Joomla. I had to do a Joomla site once and I was like, I can't. I've been doing this for so long and I still, I don't know.
I did a few, but I don't think any of them are still active. So that's good.
I think one time I shocked Bethany a little bit because I went to the Drupal meetup. I went to one Drupal meetup and I'm like, you know, I wonder if we need to learn this thing called Drupal. And so I went to this meetup and there were all these, well, mostly dudes. There were a couple women, but it was like that joke, how many engineers does it take to screw in a light bulb? It was like, yeah, it takes like 12 or 15 people to put up a single simple brochure Drupal site. I took a Drupal class. I really tried. And Bethany was just like watching me like shaking her head. Like, I don't know what she's doing, but yeah, good luck with that, Angela. And I got over it really quickly.
Yeah. And I did, you know, I had a client over at the University of Colorado who they came to me and they wanted to figure out what platform they should use. And so we were discussing it. And in the end, we ended up choosing Drupal. But I didn't decide to learn Drupal for that project. I went and found a Drupal development team and pulled them in, and I stayed on as the project manager. So I have worked with other platforms, and I understand when one needs to be used. But I think the majority of the time, WordPress is the solution.
So as a marketer, because you know I see things from like a development and design standpoint, but as a marketer, what is your favorite, most used feature of WordPress?
Well, the blog. I mean, you know, I say that, but it's so interesting whenever I have clients or students, rather. So I have students who come into my class and I take a poll. I say, you know, how many people are here for blogging? How many people are building a website? How many people are using it for both? And it's really amazing how many people are using WordPress without a blog. And they don't understand the value of how they can use it until it's explained to them. And though things have changed, and maybe some people, there's the guy from Duct Tape Marketing is calling them hub pages now. He's talking about categorizing your content within your site when you're talking about these different subjects. Well, how do you do that? You do that with WordPress, right? You do that with the category tag, right? You know, you're arranging your site using categories, using tags, so that people can get deeper into the content that they need, that they're looking for to help them on the journey. And so I think, you know, it's still the blog that is my favorite feature of WordPress.
Well, I wanted to ask you a little bit about what you do with teaching. I know you and Angela both teach, and I used to be a teacher myself, but I taught middle school, and I found, and I have done some adult ed, not with computer skills, but well, some with computer skills, but back when I was a teacher, kind of helping other teachers learn things. But I found that teaching adults was so much more difficult than teaching kids. So would you like to tell us a little bit more about like what you're teaching people in regard to WordPress?
Sure. You know, it's really interesting that you say that, because I've had the opportunity to talk to kids about websites, and they pick it up so fast. But I think that with the adults, maybe it's the fact that I consider myself a non-tech person. I you know, come from a non-tech world. That I really resonate with them, with the adult who is running their business, doesn't want their website to be a 24/7 job. And I can relate back to when I started working in the question, working with websites and WordPress specifically, and the questions that I had. And I think too many times, developers especially, and not to knock them, but developers remember where they're at. They're not remembering where the person they're talking to is at.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Yeah.
And as a developer-ish person. Yep.
Yeah.
Developer-ish. I think we need to use that term more. I like that.
I like that.
All right. We should make t-shirts.
Developer-ish.
Watch for developer-ish t-shirts coming to the womeninwp.com website sometime soon.
Yeah, and all that we need is a tagline. I know what a semicolon is.
So as far as teaching the adults, I really resonate with it. And teaching the non-tech folks specifically. There are so many people who can teach the developers. And Angela is amazing at doing that. She loves working with the developers. She happens to be somebody that can cross over both worlds. But a lot of times when you have developers teaching, they want to be showing you all the cool features, and they're not taking the time to slow down and remember that it's a different approach. And you have to repeat things. So I tell them, there are three ways that you can do this. I'm going to show you this one way. There are two other ways, but I'm just going to keep focusing on this. You know, who is it? Tony Robbins says, repetition is the mother of skill. And that's really what you have to do with the non-tech folks, is just keep reminding them, this is where you go to add a page. This is where you're going to go to add a post. And they call it a blog. And so in my class, I have to say, it's a post. And the reason I'm going to keep drilling this into you, if you say blog, I'm going to say post, because when you get in the back end of WordPress, you're not going to see anything that says blog. So as silly as it sounds, they have to really understand where they're going. So many times I'll have clients who will say, you know, it doesn't happen quite as much nowadays. And I wonder if it happens with you guys. And maybe it's because I keep drilling it into them. But I have people who used to call me up and say, I started writing something and I can't find it. And I would find it in pages instead of posts.
Oh yeah, all the time.
It's like that, you know, where's the any key?
Yeah.
You know.
So what I'm curious, what is the most common question that your non-tech students ask you about WordPress?
Oh, they want to know what theme to use.
And what do you tell them?
I have a whole conversation about hosting, which is their other question, hosting and themes, and explaining to them the difference in quality, the difference in support, the difference in knowing that you can continue to use this and grow into the future. I actually have on my slide deck for the class, I have what I call the college dorm of hosting, townhouse of hosting. And I live in a townhouse personally. You know, I happen to love my townhouse, but there's a difference between the townhouse and the gated community. And so if they can understand the difference between that and get on the right hosting platform, and or same thing with the themes, right? Making sure that the theme developer is committed to that theme, that theme developer has created documentation, whether it's video documentation or written documentation, that they have a forum or a support area where you can go in and ask questions, and the price of free, right?
For sure.
You know? And I do let them know about free themes that I think are worth looking at. This whole Gutenberg thing is obviously shaking that all up a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting with the theme thing, because the thing that I encounter the most is that people think the theme is the photographs. And so they'll look for like a preschool website theme, and they'll send me a bunch of things they found on the internet. And they all look like just any average theme. It could be Generate Press or Ocean WP or Avada or Infold or any number of themes. The only difference between that and any other theme is that the one that they're looking at has pictures of kids in it. And so I try to convince them, you know, this isn't about the photos. And I did have one guy who called me for a consultation one time who was trying to pick themes off of the repository based on the photo. And he had no idea that you could change the photo. Like, that's not why we picked the theme. It's not for the photo. But yeah, and to clarify with Bethany, what you were saying about our teaching, I don't teach developers. I teach wannabe site builders. And maybe 10% of them are wannabe developers. But I'd say 1 in 10 students is maybe on maybe a developer kind of track, but mostly I'm kind of right there with you teaching real beginners and designers trying to make that more the people who want to make the transition rather than business owners who just want to know how to manage their site. So that adult education piece is certainly challenging, and the glossary of terms definitely comes into place, because what we really want them to know is how to Google ultimately.
Yeah, I do a whole section on that actually when I talk about themes and plugins, how I Google. And it sounds silly, but that's what they actually need. They need to understand how to research, understand how to look for something.
Oh, that's super important. And I loved it. Last week on our episode, Felicia noted that she learned it Google by Google. And I love that phrase, because I feel like that's how we all learned it, because we didn't go to school for WordPress like your students are now. So when you're doing these courses, are there different levels or are they all beginner courses?
So my class is for the non-tech person who most likely has had a site built for them or is considering WordPress, but doesn't even know what it does. Somebody told them that they should be using WordPress. Angela has a series of classes that range from non-tech folks who want to know more about, for instance, security. They're ready to learn more, because I just tap on the fact that you need to understand about security, but I don't have time in my class. It's a shorter class. So she then goes into that in her class, or how to do a portfolio or something like that. And so we're really fortunate that we teach at this organization that is open to us creating additional classes, because we can pull people in. My WordPress class, I actually cap it because I want to keep it smaller, but it always sells out.
Wow.
And this is going on 10 years. We've been teaching there for 10 years. So there is a need for it in the community, even though there is that you can learn everything about WordPress online for free. These people don't have the time or don't understand how to do that research. And so they come into the class wanting to understand the minimal that they need to know, but they walk out with all of these other resources, like how to research, why you need to consider this type of hosting or this type of theme, this type of plugin, why you need to pay attention to security, you know, so things that they didn't realize that they were going to learn.
Well, even just the different types of learning styles that matches. I mean, sometimes I can just teach myself something, but other times I'm like, no, I need someone to like break this down, especially in the beginning, because I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people who are going to want those web or those graphic designers who want to go on to Angela's track need to take my class before they take her class. It's a prerequisite, because they don't know what they don't know, right?
Yeah, I need them to know the difference between a post and a page and that there's settings and how to install WordPress and yeah, all that stuff.
Right, and there's so much information out there, but it's really hard to sort through. So, you know, you might find something that says, put this function in, and you're like,
what's a function?
where do I put the function? I mean, you know, I've seen someone paste one in their style sheet, so...
Yeah, and that's something that I do, and it's interesting that the person who co-founded this Boulder Digital Arts, he was just interviewing me for a little spot. They were creating a video that they're creating about, well, what's the value of these in-person classes? And I did say that when you take a class online, one is the attrition rate is huge. Hardly anyone finishes an online course, and if you have to show up every week for 6 weeks, you're more committed to finishing it. And I give everyone homework and stuff. But that part that you were saying, Tracy, of like kind of breaking it down for them and really explaining it A to Z, how it all works. And now I've had like, you know, maybe 100 people go through this course, and maybe not all of them go on to do, to continue to build sites, but a lot of them do, and they all build their freelance careers around the fact that they had this good solid foundation to start. And then also by being in a class together, and Bethany, we see this in our meetups too, like I can tell them right there when they're in the room, I can say, okay, you're more of a designer, you like to code, but you do not have design skill. And one time I stood in front of a class, I had like 9 people, and I just kind of shouted out each person's skill. Like, wow, you're a great IT person, and you're a really great designer, and you're a really good marketer. Look, we have an agency right here in our classroom, and you guys can work together. And lo and behold, these people go on to create these little ad hoc agencies and work together. And I think that's another thing that's been really great about our community.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. There are so many people that think that they need to understand every aspect about it. But the reason that I feel that Angela and my personal businesses, right, because we don't have a business together, but we partner in a way that when we need something that the other one is stronger at, we don't try to do it ourselves. We pull that person in. So we have graphic designers that we pull in for either a logo or page jewelry so that we can focus on, I can focus on the marketing end while I'm building a site. But when I get to the point where I need heavier coding, I go to Angela. If I need more sophisticated SEO, I pull in somebody appropriate for that. So, you know, we have this whole community of people who are always not only learning from each other, but partnering with each other as well.
Yeah. And I relate to that because I remember after WordCamp US, I was told to learn JavaScript deeply. And so I signed up for my coding class and I'm going to learn it. And I just learned that, you know, I can hire somebody to write JavaScript for me, and my time is going to be better spent doing what I'm good at than trying to learn this skill that my brain just might be too old to learn. So it's, I agree with that, just having this community and reaching out to the people to, you know, bring it in so that you have a team rather than trying to be everything to everyone, which is, you know, one of my skills that I'm not good at is I want to do everything.
Yeah. And making sure if you're going to places like WordCamp, you can establish those relationships that are going to be successful. And you try it with a smaller project maybe first, instead of, you know, saying, oh yeah, I'm going to use you for 75% of this project. When you don't know that person, maybe you start with a smaller task. And you get to know each other and you get to make sure that the relationship, the style suits each other. And, you know, we've been really fortunate, Angela and I, that we do, and that we early on, instead of taking each other as competition, we realized that we could collaborate with each other and build a community around it. And we've had people who've come to us. I've had 2 people who came to me and said, they were mid-age people and they were starting a new career and they wanted to be my intern. And so I said, all right, great. This is what I'm going to require of you. And this is what I'm going to offer you. And as long as you can have that communication, so that you guys both know what you're expecting. I think that's the biggest thing is when people try to partner with somebody, they kind of wing it. But if you can make sure that it's going to work for both of you guys and that you're not handing them a task that they don't want to do, you're making sure that they are as passionate about whatever you're handing off to them and that that's a skill set that they either want to really learn if they're interning or that they excel at.
Yeah, like I'd really like to offload parsing through the transcript of this.
We can fire that out.
To an intern.
Well, that's really good advice. And we're pretty much out of time. So I wanted to thank you, Bethany, for being with us today. It's been really interesting talking to you. Bethany, if you can tell us where we can find you online.
Sure. I am at uniquethink.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, also Unique Think.
And all of our contact information is at womeninwp.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.